Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
So it's a week now since the election was called, and most days since we've had a slew of policies and promises from the political parties. So to take us through where we're at today, I'm joined by our reporter, Una Kelly. So Una, what are they up to today?
Yes, Claire, no different today. Lots more policies. Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are focusing on law and order today. There's been a lot of talk about this over the past year, of course, especially since the Dublin riots, particularly about the need for more Gardaí on the streets. Most parties are proposing an increase in Gardaí numbers. The Green Party, meanwhile, today are looking at transport safety policies, including introducing speeding fines based on the offender's disposable income. People before profit, also public transport focus for them. They're saying that it should be free and more frequent. Sinn Féin, meanwhile, are looking at investment in rural Ireland and also bringing the VAT rate for hospitality back down to 9%, excluding hotels. Labour's looking at health and social care, and the Social Democrats also talking about their healthcare vision in Cork today, while at another event in Dublin, they're launching their housing policy.
And the party leaders then are continuing their tours of the country, a lot of them getting out of Dublin beyond the pale.
Yeah, big focus in Connacht today. Fianna Fáil leader Micheál Martin keeping it Cork-based. He'll be submitting his nomination papers there and then canvassing with candidates around the county. He might bump into Green Party leader Roderick O'Gorman, who's also in Cork. They're launching their general election campaign there. Simon Harris in Clare and Limerick, and meanwhile Mary Lou MacDonald is in the West in Connacht, in Leitrim, Sligo and Mayo, where they're looking at their plans for rural Ireland.
And we have the very first poll of the election campaign. This is a week in from the Irish Times, conducted by Ipsos BNA. So give us the figures first, Una.
Well, Claire, the big headline from it is that Fine Gael remains the country's most popular party, while independents are gaining support. I'll just quickly run through the figures there. So Fine Gael are at 25%. That's down 2 points on a poll in September. Sinn Féin down 1 point to 19%. Fianna Fáil unchanged, also at 19%. Labour's on 5%. That's down 1 point for them. The Greens are at 3%. That's down 2 points, while the Social Democrats are unchanged on 4%. People Before Profit unchanged at 2%. And AIM2 have gone up 2 points to stand at 3%. But the Independents are now listed at 20%. That's up 4 points for them. But the Independents are a bloc that also includes that new political party, Independent Ireland.
And this is, as we know, with every poll, a snapshot in time. The margin of error with this one is 2.8%. But what you say is interesting here is the fact that the poll was conducted on Tuesday and Wednesday of this week. Why so?
Yeah, and you can never really tell exactly what the impact would be, but this was just after the comments made by Michael O'Leary about teachers at an event with Fine Gael. That was seen as a big misstep by Fine Gael. And I suppose it's really the only clanger of the campaign so far that's had some kind of cut through to the public. So Fine Gael does still have a clear lead over their party rivals, but there is also a clear drop in their support, so they'll be mindful of that should things become a bit tighter.
Now, I'm thinking back to last week on the programme when we'd Kevin Doyle from the Irish Independent on, and he was saying, you know, that although the parties always claim they pay absolutely no attention to polls, Kevin reckoned that they absolutely pore over them. Do you think, given what we've seen in those results, that there's any party that might be more worried than others when it comes to this one?
Yeah, I suppose, Claire, for Sinn Féin, down one again, and that is well within the margin of error, of course, but in a week where they've been launching their housing plan and they've also been hammering home that change narrative, I'm sure that'll be a disappointment to them so far when you think about their performance in the 2020 election where they won the popular vote. I think also frustrating for the bigger parties to see the rise of the independents. Simon Harris this week actually urged voters at a farming event not to vote for independents, and we can read into that possibly that the bigger parties are worried about the rise of independents and that their success could result in some kind of protracted process over government formation. But I suppose overall parties will be looking at this poll in line with results of things like the local elections with no massive surprises. One thing to note, of course, is that we know that many Irish voters decide during a campaign how they're going to vote, even in the very closing days. So there's a lot of undecided voters still out there.
Yeah, and that's a really important point to make. Like, an awful lot will happen over the next 2 weeks. The focus will be on the weekend. And then, of course, into next week when we've the first full leaders' debate on Upfront with Katie Hannon on RTÉ One television on Monday evening. And the parties will likely view this as really crucial because this will be the first time that the public get to see them all there together and take stock of what they're offering.
Yeah, absolutely, Claire. I think particularly given that the first week of the campaign, some people have described it as quite slow. And when there hasn't really been any massive row or any sort of policy that's really cut through to the public yet. So for Simon Harris, this will be really important. It's his first debate as leader with his new slogan that he's bringing a new energy. I suppose for him, it'll be a seeing whether he can sell to the public that a party that's been in government for 14 years will be a different beast under his own leadership. For Mary Lou McDonald, she was going into this campaign after a number of battles over internal party governance. I think she'll be looking to capitalise on her own personal appeal, and you'd imagine also constantly turn the narrative back to issues they want to focus on, like housing, things that they'll repeatedly say the government has failed on. Now, all 10 party leaders have been invited. We did hear Holly Cairns, leader of the Social Democrats, was on Morning Ireland this morning. She couldn't confirm if she'll be attending. That's because her due date is coming very soon.
I think, you know, it's fair to say that the leaders take those debates really seriously. And I hosted two of them, 2016 and 2020. And you can feel it when they walk in. Like, they'll come in with their teams. They go to separate areas to prepare. There's a real tension in the air. It's a high wire act for them. They know that everybody is tuning into this election, maybe for the first time, engaging with it on Monday night. I mean, what do you think we should be looking out for?
I think it'll be interesting to see the strategy of who is attacking who. We've heard a lot about Labour and the role that they might play in the next government, the bigger party seeing them as potential coalition partners. So maybe we'll be looking out for whether Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael might be going easier on them. Also, that relationship between Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, some people have called that a phony war where they're trying to differentiate themselves in the public's mind. Or it could be that there's an element of the tensions that were contained for years behind closed doors are getting an airing now in this campaign. So I think either way, it'd be interesting to see if that sniping between them continues or whether they've decided that it's better to put a lid on it.
All right, well, that's Monday night up front with Katie Hannon. We'll all be tuned in to that. For now, though, Una, thank you very much. Now, we have heard today from the trade union Forza, their warning of strikes in the health sector within weeks in a dispute over alleged understaffing, with the results of the ongoing ballot set to be announced just days before the general election. And joining us on the line now is Kevin Callanan, Forza's General Secretary. Kevin, thanks for joining us on the programme this morning. I think a lot of people will be surprised to hear that we might be facing into a winter of strike action. Who exactly are you balloting and why?
Well, I don't think this is coming as any big shock. This has been brewing for a number of months now, Claire. And the reason for it is the unilateral decision by the HSE to adopt a pay a numbers strategy that had the effect of just wiping out thousands of health jobs. And what we've been hearing from people working right across all areas of the health service is just how devastating this is in terms of its impact on patients and on service users. Mm-hmm. You've seen over the last number of weeks that there have been lunchtime protests around the country. In fact, they're going to continue over the coming weeks, next week in Letterkenny and in Mullingar. And, you know, the ballot, as you mentioned, the Forza ballot, and indeed some of the other unions in the health sector are balloting, will close the week after next. So that's something that has been signalled for a long time, Claire.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I say that people might be surprised because you did strike a pay deal which runs over 2.5 year period for pay increases of 10.25%. And people will know that as part of that deal, there is a clause in there that says no form of industrial action shall be taken by any party in furtherance of claims or proposals within this process.
Exactly. But any party includes the other side of the table, and the key thing here is that we're dealing now with people on the other side of the table in the Department of Health and the HSE who just feel that they can unilaterally dictate terms, not engage in any meaningful consultation, and expect our members to just go along with it. And our members are telling us they've had enough of this and they're not going to put up with it.
So you're saying that what is happening at the moment falls outside of the deal that you struck?
Exactly. And what needs to happen, Claire, is that there needs to be a rethink here, an acceptance that, you know, thousands or tens of thousands of health workers can't be wrong. There's a real problem with the pay and number strategy. And the way to resolve it is the time-honoured way. Sit down, talk with representatives and try to figure out a solution that works for everyone, that works for patients, clients, service users, but also works for people who are trying their best to operate within the health system.
Well, let's look at the timeline. So the result is expected, is it, on the 26th of November?
Exactly. And then what will follow that is the unions will sit down and consider their strategy. There is a standing protocol within the health sector that in when notice is served, that there would be 3 weeks notice of action given. So it's my expectation that we're unlikely to see any action this side of the new year. But early in the new year, unless there's a change of tack, and this is what I was saying yesterday when we launched our manifesto for the general election, I was asked by Anne-Marie Walsh of The Independent for my observations in relation to this health dispute. And my expectation is that unless there's a change of tack on the part of the HSE and the new government, that we are going to see industrial action in the new year.
So what would you say to politicians, particularly outgoing government politicians, who say that this is very political, having the result of the ballot published just days before the general election?
All of this was set long before the general election was called. So there's no connection between the timing of the ballot. There was an extension of the ballot, actually, by a week or so. There's no connection between that and the timing of the election. This is something that has been, and I think the public know this, this is something that has been going on for several weeks now, if not for a few months.
And people will have heard that the recruitment freeze was lifted in July, but you're saying the strategy that is there that has replaced the recruitment freeze isn't filling all of the vacant posts.
Yeah, last year we had a very difficult dispute, which we resolved with the HSE. Obviously, that involved compromise on all sides. But what they've done since then in July is they've just adopted a strategy that has the effect of wiping out thousands of posts. We conducted a survey back in the summer of our members. We got over 4,000 responses indicating just how this particular policy was impacting the delivery of services in all areas of the health service. There's a real problem here, Claire, and it's essential that the powers that be recognise that the people working in the system aren't doing this for their own benefit. They're primarily driven out of consideration for patients and clients.
All right, thank you for joining us. That's Kevin Callanan. We've had a response from the HSE on this. They say that they respect the rights of all unions and professional groups to advocate. However, they say it's concerning that some have put forward an inaccurate narrative that the HSE is more influenced by financial considerations than patient safety. That's simply not the case. This is all according to the HSE. We're very happy to have continuous engagements on safety and other aspects of workforce management. It's important that the union involved in protests and public commentary recognise the enormous growth and pace of change in recent years. Coming up next, what impact will Donald Trump's presidency have on the ongoing war in Ukraine?
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.